Blog Talk Radio.
Straightway-stam och mina systrar.
Finland.
Olen hebrealainen Suomesta ja rakastan Straightway-heimoani ja siskojani.
Israel. Ani Ivriya mi Israel. Ohevet et shevet Straightway ve'achyotai.
Trinidad. I am a Hebrew from Trinidad and Tobago. I love my Straightway tribe and sisters.
Puerto Rico.
Soy hebrea de Puerto Rico y amo a la tribu de Straightway y también a mis hermanas.
Sa ko ka Hebrew gikan sa Cebu, Philippines. Gihigugman ako ang pamilya sa Straightway. Labi na ang mga igsuon ako nga babay.
Mue seon ebu. Mue fet Haiti. Mue reme Straightway tribu esemyo.
Australia.
I am a Hebrew from Australia and I love my Straightway tribe and sisters.
Japan.
私は日本からのヘブライ人です。私はストライウェイ族と私の姉妹が大好きです。
Canada?
I am a Hebrew from Canada, and I love my Straightway tribe and sisters.
Shalom and welcome to another show. Bless you. Greetings. I am Sister Ashley, your host tonight. I want to give a shout out and a praise to Sister Ajali and Sister Marshayla. There's so many offlanders that I could really say, but these two are in my heart. These two have been huge and instrumental in the children's progress and the things and activities that we do after Shabbat, as well as a recent Book It Challenge where we all went to a trampoline park for those of the children who reached their goals. The classroom here on the land read 150 books in 4.5 months, and that was a huge accomplishment. and we traveled together. Azalea and Marshayla did a lot for us, and I wanted to thank them openly. You can't say enough good things about their own time and resources that they put in for our children. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening tonight. Hopefully you can hear me very well. Thank you for the 10s in the chat room. I'm going to ask Mother Jennifer to please state the Be a Blessing list. We have 69 days until the up-and-coming feast of Passover. Praise Yah, the Pesach is on its way, and Be a Blessing list is ready. Mother Jennifer, please read it, and let's get a sound check from her voice chat room when you hear her call off these items.
Hallelujah. Bless you, Sister Ashley, and blessings to all the daughters of Zion. The Be a Blessing list, I have extra virgin olive oil, sunflower oil, and peanut oil, Hefty Supreme foam to-go containers with the hinged lid. It's the three-compartment container, 8-ounce and 12-ounce foam cups, Clorox disinfecting wipes, Vanity Fair napkins, Dawn dish soap, honey, Viva signature cloth and Bounty paper towels, 33-gallon heavy-duty trash bags and 13-gallon trash bags, disposable insulated cups with lids, aluminum foil, parchment paper, basmati rice, and pink salt. Most of these items, if you all have access to a wholesale club like a Sam's or BJ's or Costco, it would be very beneficial to get these items from there because you can get more for your money straightway, the dining hall, and let them know what you plan to bring. I pray everyone can hear me, and back to you, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Hey, tonight I was actually looking, listening, fishing for an idea in my mind today on what we can conversate before you. So we're going to get right into it. That's what you're here for. That's what you want to hear. And thank you for tuning in. Bless you to any aged woman that is still humbling herself before the Almighty Yahweh and still pressing to keep the faith, regardless of standing alone or having any family. Thank you for listening in. I listened to a song today, and I thought, I will let this be the inspiration for the conversation tonight. I got it pulled up, and the only reason I don't want to play it is because I don't want to run into any copyright issues, and then we don't get to rebroadcast our show, which has happened before, onto YouTube. Like if I play a song or there's any, I just don't understand all the red tapes and I want to do it right. But anyway, it's by Lauren Michelle, and it's called Identity. Identity is something that we are all striving to understand within ourselves, right? It's what your spirit is looking for, even if you don't know it, when you find the faith, when you come to the Father. And so her song, Identity, and you can go back and listen to it, Lauren Michelle, it only premiered a few days ago maybe. No, I don't know her, and no, I don't promote her or get any pay from speaking her name. But the word identity really stood out to me because you can go as extreme as a transgender. You can go as extreme as gender confusion or binary issues. And then you can go as small or what may seem menial to the role of a woman and a man in a home, switching from effeminacy or femininity and masculinity. So from the most extreme all the way down to just even our own influences in this culture, the identity crisis is just unheard of. It's affecting millions of billions of people across the earth. And so identity is what I wanted to talk about, and I want to start first by just saying how your identity is formed. And I hope that in this ramble or conversation that you can connect with some of these things and always take it back to the Father and what he's doing for you now. So we're going to end with what he's doing for you now, but let's start with how you based or got your identity. And so I'll go back and forth with Mother Jennifer. Mother, are you ready for me to ramble and ask you the first question, ma'am?
Yes, ma'am. Sister Ashley, I'm ready.
Okay. I thought about with identity formation and how I got my identity, right, within my own mind, how I got my identity, how it was formed, how my self-image was formed within me. And I believe if I could start there, then I could hopefully connect with each of you and maybe how you developed your identity. So we're first going to go to how we developed our identity prior to the faith. and that's where I'm going to bring Mother Jennifer in. But our identity formation was defined by our personal experiences, right? And so initially being born into this earth, into this world, you're going to have your first influential experience of family. Your family, mother, father, and siblings, or grandmother, grandfather, or the lack thereof, is your very first initial identity formation in a child and in a child's mind. And hopefully for some of you who are mothers, you can even ponder and consider your own children's identity formation, right? Because you have this sense of belonging to a family or not. You have this sense of connecting with your mother and father or not. You know, you have possible, I always say the same one, molestations and abandonments and neglects that left you with a lack of belonging to this family. And it started to shape your mind, you know, very early on. But let's say that it was a perfect world for you, or maybe that you had a great family life. Maybe you shared values. You know, within a family structure, the mother and the father and the children share the same values. They tend to have the same mind. In our culture, children may have the mind of their mother more than their father. But in the Israelite way, we are patriarchal, so we tend to try to learn and gain the mind of our husband and teach our children his mind. And that's order, and it's very successful. But in the world where we were, you have your genetics that formed you, you have your Bible beliefs and your family and your sense of belonging. And with that very first identity formation word that I'm using tonight, Mother Jennifer, family, tell me how your mind was affected as a very young girl. We're not going to our faith walk yet. We're just talking about you as a young girl with your family and your family structure. What impact did it have on you, and what was it like?
I think for me, Sister Ashley, you know, when I think about the environment that I grew up in, I mostly was around the women. I spent a lot of time with my mother. I spent a lot of time with my mother's sisters, so that would be my aunts, and even my cousins. So there was a lot that I learned about how the women behaved, how the women acted. You know, a lot of the women were very independent, even though some were married. They were, you know, they had full-time jobs. They came home. They took care of children. They took care of the household. They took care of the cooking and the cleaning. So I was taught, you know, the basics of taking care of a home. I was taught how to cook. I was taught to actually serve. My mother served my father. When it came time to fixing his plate or whatever he needed, I was taught that very early on. Now, my aunts, I really did not learn those things from my aunts. I learned that actually from my mother. So there was kind of a different dynamic. I remember a couple times sitting back and seeing my aunts upset that my mother would fix my father's plate every meal. And as I got older, you know, as I got a little bit older, I remember I started to question my mother in my mind, like, why does she fix his plate? So those are things that just even kind of shaped me early on, even though I spent a lot of time with my own mother and she taught me certain things, there were still other influences that were around me that would cause me to even question the things that were right. Sister Ashley?
I appreciate you bringing up question, you know, because at some point, going back to how we form our identities, at some point comparison comes into a child's heart. Because initially you have your family structure as a small girl, and then there's a recognition at some age, maybe 5, maybe 6, maybe 7, going into, you know, elementary school, specifically middle school, I know, that's going to start comparing. And the comparison is often to either strengthen the values of how you believe as a family, you know, predominantly white superiority or Jewish families might be really strengthened in their values and who they are without comparison. That's what I mean. because they have family structure, bonds, and a strength of religion, whatever the case may be. But for some, it might be the jealousy that begins to compare in your heart. Remember, your identity is being shaped by this, because now you're questioning, just like Mother Jennifer was speaking of, but you might question someone else's father or mother or what another family has. And you begin to look at someone else, and you notice that everyone's not the same. Like, the mind does mature. You know, a 2-year-old, 3-year-old is not going to say that. They're going to believe everyone in the world is identical. Your mind develops. And then this is where also ethnicity comes in, because in your identity formation, at some point you realize you have a color or not, right? As the world says, white or black, or some hue of your skin color and your appearance in our society. And in a lot of westernized societies, appearance becomes such a overwhelming, you know, identity former, because you have, sadly, you have physical characteristics that are compared to others, and you can't see the beauty within yourself. You have imperfections that you now see that are based on what someone else may appear before you. And then this is all influenced by the Hasatan, obviously, really born in sin, shaping in iniquity and affecting our minds. But then you have the morality within a child is its social conduct and its behavior, right? So if I'm just a young girl and I'm 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, just like each of you were, there's a social conduct and a behavior that you're taught. You're either taught to take your shoes off when you go in a house and taught to knock before you enter, or you just run freely. I remember specifically desiring a mother that loved me, but here's the thing. At 6, 7, 8 years old, you don't know who loves you or not. And this is also an unregenerated mind. Okay, so I'm not coming from our young daughters that wouldn't have to deal with what I'm saying. They would deal with something differently. But in my mind, there was a mother in my experience, my friend's mom, that seemed to love her so much because they went everywhere together and she got away with everything and could do anything she wanted, and she had no limits on her behavior socially. And I saw that as freedom, and I saw that as love. But it was just another way that was presented into my mind because of the lack of my mother's teaching and training me. And so I'll pause and say here, Mother Jennifer, that it's not, we're not going to be able to shield any of our children from exposure to someone else and how things are done, but you can always teach them. So now to you, how did ethnicity, which is color or appearance or morality and social conduct and all that, how did it shape your identity in your pre-faith life?
I would say, Sister Ashley, it's funny because Sister Chandra and I talked about this a few times, that we grew up similar in ways where for us, like for me in particular, I didn't understand or I didn't know that racism existed until I was close to graduating from high school. Where I grew up, there was a group of us pretty much. If you started elementary school, you all stayed together. There were very few people that actually moved away, and there was a really good mix of melanated and non-melanated people. There was a really good mix. So you couldn't necessarily say, okay, that non-melanated people are the dominant ones in this particular school. Now, when we got to high school, it did kind of, you could see, you know, the dominance a little bit more, but I didn't understand or know really what racism was until I was older. So if there were, things that were done towards me that were racist, I would not have known. I just, I think it really helped me in a way because I was actually able to be confident, be confident in who I was. And I didn't have this preconceived notion in me that, okay, these people are going to treat me this way because of my skin color. But I was very naive in a way to where, you know, when I did graduate from high school and I did start to experience the differences between races, you know, it was something that I wasn't used to and I didn't quite really understand at all. But I never grew up, you know, I know that some people have grown up to where they're bitter, where they're hurt because of the way that they were treated, because of their skin. That's just, I don't have that testimony. So I hope that answers your question, Sister Ashley.
It really does. And I can relate with abilities. Abilities was a huge identity former for me because, okay, you walk through the family, I said that already, then you walk through, you know, as you say, the color and the color differences that you recognize later on in life and the appearances. I remember, like, so many details still. I'm 41 years old. I remember so many details about the very first time that a large group of people mocked my appearance. And I remember this was high school, and because of the laughter, and because of the bullying or even if I was supposed to be stronger than that and I wasn't, whatever the case was, I remember it so much so that it was the first time I saw myself through their eyes. And so I took on that, I opened myself up obviously for self-rejection, but I now could see me different. I was now bothered by something that never bothered me before. And that was obviously an identity former for me. But abilities was even a greater impact because of a life that I should not have lived, which was sports, and is not for a girl and is not for a lady or not for a young woman at all, because it doesn't put boundaries on your on the masculinity, you know. It allows you to become what you want to be in a huge comparison world. And so abilities is the next word I would bring up because my passion to pursue something in front of me, it motivated me day in and day out, and it was not attainable. So then it molded my mind, and it set goals before me that no amount of wins was enough, no amount of trophies or rewards was enough, no amount of points was enough. And the rejection increases and the masculinity increases. And I would say that was a huge identity former for me. And then, of course, with your ability, you can't see the strength of your ability because you're in constant comparison and competition to someone else's ability. And because of that and doing it for so many years, it definitely impacted my mentality even coming into the faith. But I'm going to jump that back to you, Mother Jennifer, and just talk about any abilities or passions that motivated you or maybe even the lack thereof, you know, of the things that didn't motivate you. I don't know. Talk about how abilities really formed your self-image.
I would say for me, Sister Ashley, let's talk about self-image first. I remember being in middle school and high school and comparing you know, my body shape to the body shape of other girls. At that time, I wore like a size 5, and I wanted to be thinner. I wasn't thin enough. So there was this pressure that I put on myself to be thin. Nothing was ever good enough when it came to the way that my body looked. So that was one thing, one pressure that I put on me, that I put on myself. It wasn't from anybody else. It was just from me only. One thing that I can say that really motivated me was, you know, I got pregnant very young. So I gave birth to my son when I was 16. And for me, that just really caused me to mature very fast. So a lot of things had to shift in my mind. A lot of things had to change in my mind. I didn't have a lot of time for insecurities or things that used to bother me. So things that were inconsequential just didn't matter anymore. You know, I knew that I had a baby to take care of. You know, I had to make sure that I did well in school. I had to make sure that I graduated. I had to make sure that, you know, that I had a good, promising job. And, you know, so these were the things that were on my mind. When I started out very early, you know, it wasn't about anybody else but me. So that was a shift that had to take place for me mentally in my mind. Sister Ashley.
I appreciate that. You made me think of friends and how influential friends are to your self-image. And this is, remember, what we're speaking of, I have to remind each of you, is we probably all share these same stories if you're 40 and under, 50 and under, you know. But our young daughters don't have these same testimonies and stories to tell. They have the same devil to fight. But I wanna take it a different road in a little bit on the show and go a different way. But until then, we're still building, because this is all how our identity was formed. And my identity was formed by friends, or by friends that you wanted that you didn't have. Either way, here comes whether you have money or not, and then here comes whether you have family or not. And I'm speaking of maybe past high school and college, to where maybe you're fighting now on your own or living on your own, with or without friends or with or without family, and so you're left to yourself and to your own circumstances. And then you have traumas that you can now reflect on from either you're now old enough to say that my family is not right, or maybe yours was, or you're now old enough to say that my appearance is not okay to me, or as she said, my weight is not okay to me, and now you have built this pattern of tearing yourself down. And socially, your personality traits really get shaped and formed most of the time by the lust for acceptance, you know, not in the faith, but prior to the faith. You're looking for someone to love you for who you are, someone to accept you for who you are, and so you will take on these different masks or personalities to become who that person wants you to be, sometimes promiscuous or, you know, for me, coaches, I always had someone very masculine, or even if it was a woman, a coach or someone in my life, and that was my mentor, that was my shaper, that was my self-identity, that's all I knew to be, you know. I didn't have a woman, I didn't have someone holy, I didn't have someone dressing righteously. I had a bunch of people in my life that helped me run for a corruptible crown. And then you have your religious affiliation. That's a huge identity former. You know, for some people, it's gung-ho Christian, and it's FCA all the way, you know, Fellowship of Christian Athletes in school back in my day. But all these affiliations or these choir rehearsals and these clubs that you're in or you're not, you know, and your idea of Holy Spirit, baptism, fire and water, and your belief, you know, in the Most High is either established early on as a young girl and it's maintained throughout that whole experience and all the way up into your adulthood, or it was confused, you know, depending on your influences. And so I hope that through this dialogue you guys can all see how really confused the mind can get. And that's what comes down to how roles reverse, you know, how your identity is formed is how roles reverse. So there was no barrier to me, and to many of you, there was no barrier that stopped me from communicating to the opposite gender, to a man, any man, you know, whether he was the sales clerk or the I don't know, the coach, whatever. There was no barrier in the world. There's no limitations placed upon male and female, girl and boy. And so that's a very powerful reason why masculinity and femininity is so confused and so blended, you know, in our world, because there's no limitations. And so I do appreciate the limitations that are established within our ministry, whereas you know, let's teach these boys that they're boys and let's teach these girls that they're girls. And because of that barrier, the behavior can develop completely different. And the respect and the honor for each other can develop completely different. And so that's definitely a turning point for restoration, and all praise to the Most High Yah. But jumping to you, Mother Jennifer, from the last few identity formers for me and myself, image, I'm going to kick them to you. Was it your friends? Was it your traumas? Was it your religious affiliations that you want to speak on that shaped the old you?
One thing that I remember, Sister Ashley, is, you know, when it came to church, of course, I was in Christianity at that time, and I was a part of a couple of women's groups. And, you know, the thing that I really remember about being a part of those groups is a lot of the women were married, and in their eyes, in those women's eyes, they were the ones that were the spiritually strong ones leading their family. They were not following the direction of their husbands. The husbands was following the direction of the women. You know, these women, they always had a spiritual word. They always had some type of prophecy, some type of word of knowledge that they would want to speak. And the men would actually follow the women because the men believed that the women were the ones that had the authority or the power. So that was one thing that really stands out to me. So coming this way and seeing the order of how things really should be just really helped shape my mind, you know, to the way that things really, really should be. Mary and Pastor Rufus helped to shape my mind to the way that things really should be. So that's just a completely different dynamic. Sister Ashley.
Well put. I want to bring up the word imperfections because perhaps each of you have a list of them, you know, things that burden you and weigh you down about yourself, you know, outwardly, inwardly, it doesn't matter. You may have imperfections, and I'm sure that those imperfections are greatly influenced by the self-image and the identity formation from you as a young girl all the way to now. And so you see how fragmented the mind can really be because the imperfections are usually based on very strong feelings and very strong comparisons and not our father's mind. So our imperfections are not, I failed my father, let me get this right because of his love or because of my love for him. The imperfections are, I feel strongly about this because I hate it in me. You know, I have this hate and this strong emotion against myself and this imperfection because of everything we just talked about your self-image and how it was formed, not seeing through your father's mind. You know, you're seeing through someone else's mind. And that's a cleaning process that only he can do. Mother Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. And I think your very last statement, that's a cleaning process that only he can do, is the very important thing to remember. So nobody else is going to be able to change you. There has to be a desire within you first and foremost, and you have to be able to have that connection with the Father so that you can know what his desires are. But only he is the one that is going to be able to change you, because you're going to need to be purged. You know, the things that are garbage, the things that are junk, the things that you have to get rid of, only he is the one that can discard all of those things and fill you up with the things that are actually of him, the things that you actually need. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. And this is where the conversation takes a turn and starts making sense, and we can bring this full circle, because the transformation process of Jesus Christ is ageless, meaning the developmental stages in Christ, we're all given the same grace. We're all given favor, and we're given those things by faith. And the reason I use the word ageless is because we have Mama Lily, who's in her 80s, you know. We have women in their 50s and 60s just coming to the faith. We have younger women, and then some being raised in the way. So such a variety of ages. And Yah's grace and favor is ageless. So these stages that you take in your transformation somewhat mirror the same identity formation that we talked about. Because what are you initially given? First, a family, right? Now, whether that family accepts you the way you want them to, I'm meaning within the ministry, within the home communities, within the fellowship, Yah is wanting us to portray him in his image, right? His love by the family that we are. So we're given a family, and we're given a believing unit that's going to give us a sense of belonging, that we now belong to a people. Someone loves me, right? Someone loves my same creator. Now we can establish the same shared values and the same mind and with different genetics, but that family is the first thing that's really, really powerful. I don't think that, let's just say hypothetically that no one is truly satisfied with the family in Christ, you know? Let's say that. Well, hallelujah. Does that mean that Yah's favor or grace has failed? Does that mean his love is wavering? Absolutely not. That means that his people are continually misrepresenting him, you know. But I want to encourage the transformation process for each of us tonight, and I think this conversation is going to do it. And so when we go over to the next developmental stage in Christ that I can think of, with when we get past the family part, the rest is just all faith, because, you know, your genetics are often unknown. You don't know maybe your mother, father, or your great-grandfathers. You don't know if you're grafted in. You don't know if you're part of the branch. You don't know, you know, all these things in the flesh, you know. Your goal is to have the same mind with your father. And your goal is, guess what you got to do? You got to endure your brothers and your sisters just like you're being endured. That sounds like family, you know. But the Spirit knows those that are his, and when you're reborn into this faith, faith is so powerful, my sisters. Faith is so transforming. Faith is what compels you to change. It comforts you. Faith heals you. Faith pushes you to new limits. You know, faith sets standards higher than where you're at in your mind, and faith shows you your fears. How much of your old identity, Mother Jennifer, hinders your faith? Go ahead.
How much of our old identity hinders our faith? Well, the thing about it, Sister Ashley, when we come this way, I remember Pastor Dow talking about this a long time ago, and he said one thing about women is we have to forget the old woman. We have to forget who we used to be before coming this way. And then we need to pick up the book, and we need to learn the character, learn the characteristics of the women that are in the book. So I would say that, you know, who we used to be can hinder you quite a bit when it comes to your faith. And you talked about family. You talked about, you know, Yah choosing. And I just want to say that, you know, I'm glad that I personally don't have the ability to choose who's in my family. I'm glad that he does the choosing, because he chooses perfectly those who will sharpen and perfect us. You know, if it was up to us, it would just be based on emotion. Oh, this sister makes me laugh a lot, so I'll choose her. You know, but Yah, he does all things well, and he knows what we have need of, and his choosing is actually perfect. Sister Ashley?
That's the truth. He that has begun a good work in you will also finish it in you. And the way that he finishes is meeting you with your faith. And when he returns, will he find faith? What I admire about faith that I have now that I didn't know I had, or that I didn't ever have, what I have now in my faith in the Messiah is that the trust is limitless from within you. It's not based on anyone else's faith. It is your faith to yourself. So if you have And even the word says, if you have faith, have it to yourself before God. That's Romans 14:22. If you have faith, have it to yourself. There's something very wise and important about having faith to yourself in areas where you're trying to produce a belief for the thing that you don't see. You know, you got to put your faith in Pastor Dow. You have to put your faith in your husband. You have to put your faith in traveling here week after week, or put your faith in packing up everything you own and leaving one state and going to a community. You know, and when you do that, you're doing it for yourself. It may seem like, yes, somebody's doing it with you. Maybe your family's moving with you. They're helpers to your faith. But from within, inside you, you're a producer of faith. And that faith is limitless. It is truly limitless. I just want to repeat that, limitless, 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 because we know what hinders faith, which is fear, doubt, and worry. And that's a whole nother topic. Mother Jennifer.
And you know, Sister Ashley, doing the journey together, walking the walk together is one thing, but there's still a measure of faith that needs to be exercised individually with each individual person. Everybody's journey is going to be different, even though we labor together. I hope that makes sense, and I hope I'm not confusing anybody. You know, we're laboring together. We may be doing the same thing, but my measure of faith may be different than yours. My struggle may be different than your struggle. So there are things that the Father needs to work out in me individually, and then vice versa. There are things that he's going to have to work out in you as well. So everybody's, we're journeying together, but there's a different measure or different level of faith that needs to be exercised individually. Sister Ashley?
Absolutely. Ephesians 4:13, Mother, until we all come into the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of Yah, until we all come into the unity of faith and unto a perfect man and unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, until then, right? There is one Yah, there is one faith, and there is one baptism, but with all of our self-identities prior to this faith, there's a lot of confusion, right? And so the rest is just faith. Just have faith. Faith that he's going to keep you, faith that you'll weather the storm. There's a lot of times that faith is mentioned throughout the Word, and there's a lot of times that it is in relation to a child's mind, where he says, you know, this is a forward generation, children in whom there is no faith, or ye of little faith, fearful and of little faith. And what's the other one? He says, oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt? You know, and all of that means that that mind exists with us and in us. You can turn off your faith. You can start to wonder. You can start to worry. You can start to complain. You can start to murmur. You can start to question because, you know, the storm has come. The wind is blowing. Everything's shaking. Like, this can't be. You know, this cannot be. This can't be life. I don't know. This can't be whatever I'm supposed to be doing. But just all the things that can come within the flesh. But if you keep pushing and you just believe, that's what he's looking for. Because when he comes, he's going to find faith on the earth. He's going to find it in a very, very few. And let that truth of the few motivate you to produce it from within you. It's not based on anyone else's faith in your life. It's based on your connection with the Creator. And he has powerful statements in the Word that says, live by faith, that the just shall live by faith. And according to your faith, let it be done unto you, Jesus would say. Or he said, I have not found so great a faith in all of Israel. Well, what do we need this faith for? Well, I need faith to even believe that you will finish what you started because of all the family issues, the appearance and color issues, the abilities, the friends and the family and the traumas that I just talked about, and all the things that have to be washed and cleansed from my mind. That doesn't happen overnight. So I can produce faith for that. And a lot of times people go running. You know, people don't have the faith to lay hold and not turn back. You know, there's people that may have left with justified reasons of someone truly doing them wrong, you know. And I really have nobody in my mind when I say that. I just mean in general. But where is the word at in your life that you will still love and endure with your brother and sister? You know, that you will still keep the faith no matter what comes your way. And that's why they go out from us, because they weren't of us. But I don't know, Mother Jennifer, I know enough about you. I don't know your micro details of your life, because only Yah himself knows. But I know enough about you that you are a woman of faith, and there has been times in your life that you've had to believe when, I don't want to say when no one else believed, but I want to say that you believed when you were required to believe. And that requirement of faith can have a really strong feeling of doubt when doubt's being purged. But go ahead and talk to me.
And I think, Sister Ashley, this is why it's important to understand and know what the word says, so that you can speak it. You know, when things look bleak, when they don't look promising, this is why you have to be able to speak the word, even to the point of saying, Father, I thank you that you've given me an advocate. I thank you that I'm not in this alone. Thank you that you are the one who is walking with me. Thank you for the intercession that you are, that I'm receiving, Father, from you. So, you know, just really knowing what the word says, and like you said earlier, Sister Ashley, that he's faithful. He's faithful to complete what he has started, that he's begun a good work, and he's faithful to actually complete that. And that we know that he does all things well. So it's a matter of continuing to not only rehearse those words, but to really believe them and to get them in your heart and to think about how he's taken care of me before. You know, you've taken care of me for all these years, and why would you start now? Like, I just know that that's not even possible. I know you wouldn't even stop taking care of me at all. So when you just think about it, it really is such a simple thing when you are able to get a hold of your mind and get rid of, you know, everything that the devil wants to twist. But when you're able to really get a hold of your mind and just look at Yah and focus on him and him alone, that is what helps you. Sister Ashley?
Well said. I enjoy a comment that Jesus said, in Matthew, daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole. And comfort is a big one for me, just because of the trials of my life. If you want to say small or great, if you want to say afflictions or not, you want to say it's all me and my wickedness, it doesn't matter. But because of afflictions and because of you know, heavinesses and sorrows and experiences, I really hone in on the word comfort. You know, because if Yah says he would send us a comforter and it is his Ruach, then it actually takes faith to believe that it has been sent to you. And it takes faith to believe in his comfort in the state of mind that I was in. And so when you start to believe in his comfort, it's not the feeling of comfort that you're accustomed to through dopamine and addictions. So his comfort is something that he only can produce, and because he's jealous over you, he won't let anyone else in your life do that for you. And so when he says, daughter, be of good comfort, basically meaning have great peace, your faith has made you whole. That is such a requirement placed upon her to believe and to walk out. And I know that the circumstances and even the afflictions in her body proved opposite of the faith that she was trying to produce. Like, these are real, legit circumstances in our life, and things are very terrible at times in the sense of how far we've gone from our Father. In a sense of how much pride has consumed us, you know. And I don't want to deviate, because sometimes, you know, I'll be having something in my mind. I'll be talking to myself, really. And I don't want to go too far with that. But I just want to say, daughter, be a good comfort. That faith that's made thee whole is a really awesome statement for me, Mother Jennifer, because I believe that we can walk in that same faith to make us whole. And it's not always instantaneous. Your turn.
You know, you talked about the word comfort, and this is just really, I think, one of the biggest deceptions of the Hasatan. You know, he's all about immediate gratification, something that you can feel right now just to feel better, just whatever I can do right now just to feel better. You know, if you can, go into a gas station, you can see all the types of things in the gas station that the world will lean to when it comes to instant gratification. You know, it could be alcohol. They've got products to vape now. You know, it's just everything is just everywhere. But it's all about instant gratification, and that's where they seek their comfort from. But when you think about Yah and you think about the comfort that Yah brings, the comfort that he's going to bring is going to be different. You know, he is going to make sure that you get through whatever trial you need to get through, that you learn what you need to learn so that you can be strengthened in him. It has nothing to do necessarily about making you feel good right now. It's just giving you what you need to be able to get through what you're going through. Sister Ashley?
Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. And that is, can I say humorous, that you would use tools and instruments of cruelty? Y'all go with me. A rod to hit you upside your head or your backside, right? And a staff to grab you around the neck and pull you back. Tools and instruments of comfort? His ways are not our ways. Wow, right? Because if I want to fix my failures, and we all do, but if I want to fix my failures because of someone else and not my Elohim, then I might not be successful. That's where I want to bring back that, please don't forget corruptible crown, my sisters, the word corruptible crown. It was my husband who had made the statement to me before, you run for a corruptible crown. And now that is a rod and a staff for me. You know, that's my husband's one-liners. He's a man of few words, so he'll drop a one-line on you that'll just like, you'd be quiet for the next 3 days. Just thinking about what he said. He's like, you run for a corruptible crown. All right, hallelujah, you discern this in me. Let me go check this out. Let me see, you know, what I'm running for. And I'm gonna bring up India. India, if you're listening, I'm gonna bring you up just because you're strong enough to take it. Y'all strength be in you. But India is someone also who's had an athletic background, and by no means do I want to elevate her for that, or even, you know, speak of my experience like it's something to be proud of. But it is something that you achieve and attain in this flesh, and it does give you a pattern to reach for a corruptible crown, because the things that you do are for this life. You fix the failures in you and you strive to achieve for this life, you know. And that's just everyone, that's human nature. But in the word in 1 Corinthians 9:25, it says every man strives for mastery. But when he does, he's temperate in all things. So that would mean, let's say, for example, she's an athlete, right? If you go into training, you're going to conduct yourself temperately. You're going to run when they blow the whistle. You're going to eat when they say eat, swim when they swim, lift when they say lift. And you master temperance in these areas and obedience without fail, because you feel you feel almost like a high off the adrenaline of pleasing someone else, the whistle, the time, the buzzer, the trophy, whatever. And I hope this is still relatable to each of you, because I'm not just speaking to her. I'm using an athlete as an example. And so not every athlete who competes in the games is disciplined or exercises self-control, but those who win repetitiously, they can have a corruptible crown. And then if that's your, I'm off India now, I'm on all of us, okay? If that's our self-image, if that's how it was created, in the constant perfect the failure, fail again, perfect it again, make the mistake, down again, heavy again, depressed again, rise up again, and this habitual cycle of you know, depression and the lack of comfort and the lack of our Yah, if we make this pattern of fixing our failures our same focus in the faith, then you're still running for the same corruptible crown. You're still running for pleasure in this life, someone to accept you in this life. Everything you're trying to be is because she wants you to be, and because it's not being acknowledged by him, or he's not noticing me, you know? And all of that Yah is jealous of. If he's going to be your Elohim, and he's going to be the one to rod you, staff you, correct you, mold you, transform you, then he's going to fix your failures on his time. And honestly, I have to say this with almost with humor, but Yah doesn't care how much your failures affect someone else's flesh when he's molding you, you know? So taking it back to our self-identity, Mother Jennifer, and just how we need our Father's mind. Your turn.
Yes, ma'am. And he loves us so much that he will allow us to repeat these things over and over again until we get his mind. He loves us so much that he'll make sure that we only give glory to him. He loves us so much that he will make sure that we only seek out his approval. So if you're going over the same thing over and over again, you're dealing with the same thing over and over again, you know, ask the Father, where am I failing? Where is my area of failure so that I can really learn and be able to move on? You know, what do I need to learn from this? Mr. Ashley?
Yes. Where is my work that can couple with my faith to be made perfect? Where is my work? I often tell people who ask me things, if I don't have an answer for something, or my husband doesn't have an answer, or I'm waiting, or I'm learning, or maybe it's a symptom in the body, whatever you have going on, if you don't know, then you can apply yourself to the works of anything, a diet change, an exercise change, you know, a water increase. You can still give yourself those works because it's your faith that heals you. It's your faith that moves mountains. It's your faith that comforts you. It's your faith that makes you whole, period. It's, you know, it's spiritual. For everyone else, man, we can go all day with the millions of videos of everyone who's healed and in great, you know, condition in their mind, or so they seem, right, on the videos. You can go all day looking for people who are not smitten by the enemy and afflicted by the Hashatan the way that we are, not fought against the way that we are. They have the freedom to gad abroad and to cover up their sufferings. And you can't seek those people for faith. You can't seek those people for wisdom. You can't, and even though I know the children of the world are wiser than the children of light, but you have to produce some sort of works. We can't be stagnant, you know, in our belief of the Father that, okay, he's going to transcend heaven and earth and come down and just miraculously touch every part of me. No, I'm going to produce faith, you know. I'm going to produce faith so that I'll be ready for whatever it is, a miracle or a healing, you know. Mother Jennifer.
And, you know, one thing about healing, Sister Ashley, is in my experience, the times that I've been healed, what I notice is that you can either get healed right away or there could be a process to your healing. And one thing that you have to know and understand is your mind truly has to be strong. When you have hands laid on you, you have to know that you are healed. You have to walk forward with the mindset of knowing that you're healed, because all that, you know, you're going to hear after you have hands laid on you, after you get prayed for healing, all you're going to hear is these accusations from the devil. And it just depends on how much power you're going to give to his voice. But when you know that you're healed and you walk that healing out, then his voice becomes very weak in your mind. You can't hear him anymore. He's going to try, but you're just going to know that you're healed. So it takes a great level of faith to understand and know, okay, I know I'm healed. I know I am. I just got more work to do, but I know I'm healed. So it really is about overcoming the doubts that could be planted in your mind and not even allowing them to enter in. Sister Ashley?
Well said. So going back to the structure of who you are, and your self-image and how it was created, my sisters, in order to transform you, to change any of those monumental things in you from the time that you were born as a young girl and started really thinking and seeing, from the time you recognized your color and your appearance, from the time that your morality and your social conduct was either liberated or limited by your family. By the time you started comparing abilities and passions that you pursue, or by the time you develop friends, jobs, money, all those things, to change this structure inside of you, to transform you into a new creature, is Yah and Yah alone. No one else gets the glory. No one else can do it. There are helpers in our faith. There are very powerful helpers in our faith, chiefly some of us with our strong husbands. But Yah is the user of all those tools, all of them. And that's how your faith can soar from inside, knowing that he'll finish, you know. Faith is like a building process internally, and I know you know that, but faith is a shield. Faith is established from within you, because if you want to have faith to yourself, Satan will send hell to disrupt that belief and that faith. You don't even got to speak it. You want to have faith to yourself and have it unto Yah? Hallelujah. But Satan, he knows those who have faith, and he's coming for it. So your faith is your shield. And without faith, it says, the word says it's impossible to please the Most High Yah without faith. You know, so that's why fear and doubt and worry is so serious. That's why the fearful shall literally enter into the lake that burns with fire, according to Revelation. That always shakes me. Like, wow, let me get a hold of these fears. I don't mean that fear is not always present. You know, it's an emotion according to the flesh, and the work of the flesh is always present, but your faith can be much greater than the fear that you face. Hallelujah. I hope this has helped each of you understand how you got to who you are, and also to help you deny yourself, deny all this garbage that made you you, you know, that made your flesh exalted. When everyone, you know, there's no amount of any of these things. There's no status of your family. There's no status of your ethnicity, status of your ability, and status of your friends and family that's going to exalt you in the eyes of the Father. There's no money status, you know, social status that's going to exalt your flesh and make you something before him. It's truly the Spirit knows those that are his. It's a very lonely walk from within, and it's a lot of maturity that we're called to. A huge requirement placed upon us, Mother Jennifer, to be a people of great faith. If you want to be the people he's coming for, hallelujah, then you got to produce faith from the inside. And when he's looking for faith, then nobody BS that. Nobody. No status, no money, no family, no nothing on the outside, as you strive for a corruptible crown, is going to, you know, really prove to the Father some level of faith. It's just not going to happen. So anyway, I'm done. I hope that you can wrap up the show. Hey, guys, holy calendar. Let's say that before. I'll let you conclude your thoughts, Mother Jennifer, on the show, and then I'll give the Holy Days calendar information. Go ahead.
Oh, this is my final thought, Sister Ashley, is that we have to remember that it's in him that we live and that we move and that we actually exist. It's in him and nothing else. And, you know, when we have the understanding that we are his children, there's a behavior, there's a way that we carry ourselves that comes with that, because we belong to him. Sister Ashley?
Yes, bless you, Mother Jennifer. Thank you for joining me tonight. You are dismissed. I want to also say that I received a text that said, oh, how tremendous this message or this conversation is, and how freeing, just from the state of abandonment of the flesh, raw, she says, before Yah, and being stripped. And I appreciate that. And to you who text me, you're a woman of faith, and I admire women of faith. That's the type of women that I look up to. That's the type of women that I want to see and be around, women of faith. Who simply believe, who have not seen the Father, but yet believe, you know? Hallelujah. There's a lot to be said about a character like that. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Thank you so much for being so willing to love the Father and to grow in your faith and to believe in what he's doing in you. If you believe that he started a work in you, then most definitely you will believe that he's going to finish it. And that takes faith, right? And so when you feel what you feel and you go through what you go through, get clean. Talk to him about how you feel. Talk to him about what the fire feels like and the purging that's going on. Get all that uncleanness and the residue of your self-image out of you so that he can continue to transform you and your faith can soar. Hallelujah. No rush. No rush. We're not running for a corruptible crown. Hallelujah. It's an endurance race. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Steve and Wenda, bless you. Thank you for another beautiful calendar. I always look so forward to seeing it, and I was just as impressed, and I'm excited about it. My students, we got one in the schoolhouse down the hill. The students love it, and we get to mark off every day, communicate about the Gregorian day, midnight to midnight, and the Hebrew day, sundown to sundown. Appreciate it. So, you guys, if you want a Hebrew calendar from us, please. There are two styles available, nature scenes with verses and special straightway edition with pictures, okay? So holydayscalendar.com, is that what it was? I'm going back into the comments from earlier in the show, Wenda. Bless y'all. Calendars are ready. Order at, yes, holydayscalendar.com. H-D and C is capital. holydayscalendar.com. H-D and C is capitalized. The rest is lowercase. Hallelujah. 69 days. Might as well say 68 days. Must be the name of Yah. Shalom to everyone. Thank you again for listening. And to all of you that are in the fire, in the crosshairs, and in the affliction, I understand. Hallelujah. May I be a helper of your faith to the best of my ability. Love y'all. See y'all hopefully, or you'll hear me anyway, next fifth day. Hallelujah. And a special shout out to Sister Sakina, who wasn't able to post any scriptures or be with us tonight, but I'm sure she'll catch us on the repeat. Good night.